Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Snell.
Hi, and this is Grace Onglad. Welcome to Unseen Realms.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Pretty good. Yeah, things are going well. It's raining here now. We had
happy
a beautiful day today.
What? Yeah, happy Beltane, my friend. Yeah,
happy Beltane. Yep, Beltane. So,
or May
Day. Let me see. Huh?
Or also known as May Day.
May Day, yes. Yes, that's right. It's the beginning of May. And I went out, I took out some beautiful flowers in blossom. I don't know what they were. I went out and took pictures today, and thank goodness I did because it's raining tonight. So maybe I'll get a chance to post them up on the internet.
Nice.
Right. So, this week we're doing St. Joan of Arc. And, St. Joan of Arc. In French, she's called Jeanne d'Arc. And she's referred to as La Pucelle. And Pucelle in French means the virgin, the maid or the virgin. And she was, let me see, there were some, you know a lot more about her, but I was looking at the different things. She was born in the eastern part of France. And she had been hearing voices since she was 13, you know, holy visitors coming to her and telling her, giving her directives to help get rid of the English out of France. Anyway, you'll add a lot of this stuff in, but I just want to point out that Orléans kind of, it's south of Paris. It's south, and it's about 2 hours south of Paris. And that's one of the places she was at. She was in, when she got captured, it was up by Compiègne, and that's about an hour north of Paris. And she was burned in Rouen. And if you go out, it's called Le Manche in France. It's kind of the part that kind of sticks out, you know, the end there. It's kind of halfway between Le Manche and Paris itself and Rouen. So just to give the listeners an idea of the section that we're talking about. One thing I do have about her that I'm interested in is that when she was in Lagny-sur-Marne, and everybody out there, Lagny-sur-Marne, okay, everybody knows about the tiger that was in Montévrain in France. All right, that is about, I would say that's about 2 miles from me where the tiger was. Well, if you continue to go two more miles up the road and towards Paris, that's Lagny-sur-Marne. Anyway, she was asked to pray with a group of women. A baby had passed away, and they wanted the baby to be baptized because at the time they believed that if the child was baptized, they couldn't get into heaven. So they stayed in front of the Virgin, a statue of the Blessed Mother, and they prayed for 3 days. She went with the women to pray. And on the third day, the child regained its color, and yawned. And they quickly baptized the baby, and then the child passed. The baby passed right afterwards. So they worked for 3 days to, you know, and they said the baby was the coloring and everything, and it was a miracle, and they were able to bring the baby back to life, baptize it, and then let the baby go on its way. So that's the one miracle. You know, that was the one outside of being of everything else she's done. That's another miracle that I found that she was connected to.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I was doing the internet search.
Oh.
I know you know a lot, and I don't know that much. I can tell you that they think some of her remains are in the ashes. It's in Chinon, Chinon. They've analyzed the ashes. They said that when she was burnt to the stake, they had to burn it 3 times because the organs were still alive. So they did the burning 3 times until they were, you know, sure that the body was dead. They had put the ashes in the Seine River. When the researchers looked in the area years later, they believe they found what's to be a cloth remaining from her that belonged to her, and they feel that they found some of the ashes. They also found the femur of a cat, a black cat, and they said that was a common practice to throw a black cat on the pyre. Is that a pyre? When they were burning a witch, they would throw a black cat on there too, just to, you know, add insult to injury. You know, they feel that that's what they took the ashes to. There was a 18 people on the team, and they, using carbon dating, they took the ashes to Hôpital Raymond Poincar, and they found that this piece of cloth that it dates from the 15th century. So they said it could be part of a robe or a bag or something, and they said that actually she died of smoke inhalation. She didn't die of being burnt. They had to order her to be burnt a second time. The organs survived, and then they went ahead to the third time. So, you know, anyway, so that I'm not sure. I'm sure that you don't really want to hear that. So let me see. Another thing, she was declared a saint in the 1920s. And during the Second World War, both Vichy France and the French Resistance claimed Joan of Arc as a national symbol for their cause. So, and that's kind of what I have. So what do you have? I mean,
wow.
I have more, but I know you know a lot more than I do about this.
Yeah. So should I tell them the whole story or part of the story?
Well, it's not... You can tell him. I, you know what? I don't know how many are listening. Like maybe we have 10. You might as well tell them the whole story. Pretend they're all in our living room.
Yeah, I'll Okay, why not? What the heck? I'll tell you the whole story.
All right.
So when I was in second grade, it was called Gifted and Talented. That I don't know what they call it now, but I was very, I had a very high IQ, and they put me in this like special class, you know, like
it was called,
they would take my regular class.
Gifted.
Yeah, I don't know what they call it now. But anyway, they would take you out of class and they put you in with like 10 other students. And you would do like special projects. And then they would send you back to your own class, like usually 2 days a week. So in my class, one of the things we had to do was we had to write book reports. And they asked me what I wanted to do my book report on. And I did Joan of Arc. Of course, I was only second grade. But I was enamored with her. Well, come to find out, here I am on the spiritual path, and now I'm, probably 35 years old. And I went to see this psychic, and she says to me, "Did you know that you're a reincarnation of Joan of Arc?" I was like, "What? What are you talking about?" She said, "Yeah, you've got something going on there with Joan of Arc." And I was like, "Oh, wow. Okay." So, of course, hearing that, I read every book possible about Joan of Arc because I was like, "Wow, this is interesting." Well, come to find out over the years, you know, I didn't think a lot more about it. And then all of a sudden, one day I woke up and I felt like my feet were on fire. And I had a spiritual mentor at the time, and she goes, "Did you know that you were part of the reincarnation of Joan of Arc?" This is like the second person. And I said, "Wow, I've heard that before." And she said, "Well, you're part of, you know," so this is probably hard for people to understand, but our souls are usually, there's a lot more to it than we know. In the Western tradition, we're taught that we only have one soul, right? But many of us have multiple souls. We have, we're fragments of oversouls of people. And I believe I'm a fragment of the oversoul of Joan of Arc. Now, I've also been told that I'm a direct reincarnation of Joan of Arc. I don't quite know what it is, but there's something there for me. And I had to really do a lot of clearing because of this, because I pulled that energy into this life as a martyr. So I've had a lot of healing to do on that front. And I found out that my mother in this lifetime was my mother in that lifetime. So it gets really, really complicated. Okay. One of the things I wanted to mention about Joan of Arc is she was born a peasant girl. Okay. She didn't even know how to read and write. Okay. So if you can imagine, when God and the angels come to visit people and they ask for their soul mission, them to do a soul mission. And, you know, of course we agree to do this before we even come into physical form. There is something to be said that the humble are often chosen, okay? Because the humble have the pure intention of heart, the pure of heart, and they just want to serve God and Goddess. And they don't really think about themselves in the process. And that's really what she was all about, because here she is, she's dirt poor, she's living in a peasant village. The French are desecrating, I mean, the English are desecrating everything. She saw her mother get raped right in front of her. I don't know if you know that. So she was she was really traumatized. Anyway, that, oh my God, they're invading my village. You know, they're desecrating my mother. They burn her house, I think, at one point, or tried to burn it. I mean, there was also some anger there. I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie. She was by God, but she was also angry. Like, what are they doing? They can't do this. So when she went away, and she told her, the guy that she, her pastor or whatever at her church, he knew what was going on, but she didn't tell a lot of people, that she was seeing these visions and hearing, you know, St. Michael, St. Catherine, and St. Margaret. But
that was Archangel Gabriel too.
Oh, was it Gabriel too? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Archangel Michael. It was Saint Catherine. It was Archangel Gabriel. And another, I think there was another one. I think there were four.
Okay. What I think the significance is of Joan of Arc, and the reason we wanted to do a show on her today, is that she represented the divine feminine. Okay. She was a warrior. You know, she was the divine feminine warrior archetype. And I've been told I'm that in this lifetime too. But she was also an indigo. And if you've heard about the indigos are the warrior spirits. They're coming in to question the reality. They're changing it up. They want to, you know, say, no, no more. We're not going to do things this way. We're going to change it up and do it differently.
Well,
that's what
she
was all about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, some of the stuff I read about her, like that when she went to Orléans to do battle, she came into battle in a white, I think it was a white armor and a white horse. They said that she had knowledge of military tactics, like somebody that was had already been an officer or had been on the battlefield for 30 years. There was no way that she had this kind of knowledge. She said she was very skilled in everything, but it wasn't like she was eschewing becoming a woman because she was very into the arts of, you know, the sewing, the whole thing women would do, but she knew she had to carry on the directives.
Right. And she led the men into battle, and she had to cut her hair so that she looked like a man. And the other thing is, during that time, you could basically be put to death for cutting your hair. I mean, she knew exactly what she was doing. She dressed like a man. She cut her hair because she knew they wouldn't take her seriously. But they eventually figured out that she was a woman. And then that's when they did the whole virgin test and all that stuff. Charles Dauphin. But she had no fear. She had no fear going into
Charles
battle.
Charles VII, she went, she got the okay to go because she had made a prediction that had come true. This is according to, you would know more than I would. And they said, okay, then you can go to Orléans and lead the battle against the English. And she did. And that's when she was able to put Charles VII back on the throne again.
Right.
And this was during the Hundred Year War.
Right. And she did catch an arrow at one point. She caught an arrow in the heart, the chest. You know, they pulled it out. She was okay, but she did catch an arrow. But, you know, basically the sad thing of the whole story is that they turned on her. You know, she did what she came to do. She put him back on the throne. They got control back of France. But then they basically, the nobles sold her out and they burned her at the stake and everyone turned on her. Even Dauphin turned.
What happened was they were talking to Charles, and Charles was under scrutiny, and they had to distance him from her because she was hearing voices, and it would make him look less credible on the throne.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons.
Yeah.
But she also got caught outside of Compiègne. She wasn't able to get into town fast enough, and she got caught outside of Compiègne, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the France, from what I've been told, and of course I'm an Akashic Records reader, I went into the Book of Life and I asked, okay, why would they let this happen to her? And it's basically, you know, to make the allegory of Jesus, I think she kind of knew this was going to happen to her. You know, she knew that she had this soul mission and that she would eventually die. And even during her trial, I mean, she fought really hard for like 2 weeks. They were trying to catch her in her words and all this stuff. And it was very, very intense. I mean, imagine, she can't even read or write, right? And she's up against like a whole panel of bishops. Rome sent all these bishops in. you know, these were very highly educated men, and here she is on the, you know, defending herself. I don't even think she had a lawyer or anything. And basically, you know, again, just the things that she said, I know that she was divinely guided. She had to have been. Just yeah. because of her responses. I mean, come on.
Well, you know? In a moment of weakness, she did recant. They said that on May 24th in 1431, Joan was taken to a scaffold set up in a cemetery next to St. Wren Church and told that she would be burned immediately unless she signed a document renouncing her visions and that she must agree to stop wearing soldiers' clothing. And under deep duress after a year worth of privation in a torturous prison, she signed a document saying, I would rather sign than be burned. But then a couple days later, she went back in. She, you know, on May 28th, she recanted her previous abjuration and she put on men's clothes once more. And she was accused of being charged with heresy right then and there. So, well, and they talk about this. They're saying that, you know, everybody was human. I mean, that shows the, you know, that she totally trusted and believed in God, but we're all human and we all have that. And we all have that period of that relapse, you know, and that's, you
well,
know, they talked about that.
Just the terror of being burned to death. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, one of the things I read, too, is I think she jumped out the window of the castle 30 feet. She jumped out the window and into the moat and probably broke her leg or broke her ankle or something, but they said she was kind of damaged. She was hobbling because of that.
Well, she said that because she was, when she was in the tower, it was the Beau Rivoir Tower, and St. Catherine warned her not to jump and that God would help her and also the people of Compiègne. They said at the time, they said that the English were advancing on the city of Compiègne, and she said that she said to St. Catherine that if God intended to help the people of Compiègne, then I intend to be there helping too. So she jumped at least 65 feet, but she only got a couple bruises and bumps, and she was immediately recaptured. But you had told me this, that she was immediately recaptured
wow.
afterwards.
Okay.
65
that's,
feet.
That's...
Can you imagine?
No, I thought it was like 30 feet.
No, it was 65.
Yeah. So,
I can hear your shells going.
Oh my God!
What?
I kind of wanted to do this show, but part of me was like, eh, I don't know if I want to relive it all again. But
you know, you're not the only one though, because I have seen people. I have another friend that has a piece of soul spark of Saint Joan of Arc, and I didn't when I did it. You know.
Yeah.
I've seen that in another person too. Not the entire reincarnation, but it's a, you know, a spark of the oversoul.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that I don't think we quite grasp yet, the fact that we are part of these oversouls of people, especially in ancient history, you know. So, yeah, there's definitely, I think that's why people resonate with her, is there's definitely more than one of us out there, I'm sure. And also, from what I've heard from the Divine Mother, she said that this was really, the reason that this soul mission was so important for Joan to do this was that Lourdes is a very sacred place for the Divine Feminine and the Divine Mother, and they didn't want the English to get a hold of it and desecrate it, which they would have done.
Right.
So it was really about the Magdalens preserving France and preserving the energy of the Divine Mother in that country. Very important. So
yes,
ultimately that was the real reason for it, the whole thing.
Right.
And
I was going to ask that. Why would, you
I,
know,
I
why was this so important?
That's why France is protected. It will always be protected, no matter what.
Well, also, there was the bloodline of Jesus.
Well, yeah, that too.
Me, no, I was down in the south.
Yeah, that too. But But
I mean, that a little further south there.
Just a little further south. Yep.
Actually, it was more east. No, yeah, because Lourdes is pretty much far south as you can go, so it was more east. But she said that during she was very modest. She actually rallied the guys. You know, she was very modest in her dress when she was dressing. She made sure that mass was said every day for the troops. And actually, because of the way she was, that she rallied a lot of people to fight against the English at the time. It's her, you know, leadership and her example and her leadership that rallied everybody to fight against the English at the time. But I think it did say that the war went on 30 years after that, too.
Oh, did it? After
but having Charles in as a king kind of gave everybody the morale boost that they needed.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
All right. Yeah, that's what I, you know. And also, Mark Twain was very, very, Mark Twain, I think he wrote a biography on St. Joan of Arc. Didn't you tell me that?
Yeah, I have it, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so what's it like?
It's a good book. It's another good book. You know, there's so many books about her. If you really get into it, I mean, there's a lot of movies. There was a movie with, what's her name? Mila Jovanovich, I think her name is Mila. And that was an interesting movie because Dustin Hoffman played the devil and he visited her in prison and said, are you sure that you didn't just lead all those men to their death for nothing? You know, and all this kind of
Ooh.
Stuff. Like,
Ooh.
It was really, really creepy movie. I mean, it was really creepy. But, you know, basically, if you're really from God, why would God ever condone war? You know, why would God condone war? And her response was, well, we had to protect it from the English because they were going to, you know, take us out, basically.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a lot of movies. There was a movie in the 50s that's really famous. I forget. There's a famous actress in that. I forget what her name is. But there's been tons of movies about Joan of Arc. And, of course, you know, if you go to France today, I think there's statues of her. There's statues of her in New Orleans, too. My friend.
Yeah, there's statues of her in downtown in Paris. Also, if you go to Rouen, R-O-U-E-N, that's where she was burned, martyred. It was Place de Marché. And now there's a giant church there, and it's in the shape of a bishop's hat. It's really cool. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful church. It's a gorgeous church. And it's down where she was martyred, and they have this, you know, this church. It's kind of in the shape of bishop's hat, you know, the point and thing like that, and in the back, it's really pretty neat. So
yeah.
Because I wondered why, and the thing of protecting it from the English lords from English. Also, I also found out that in the what's it called, Brittany, there has been a portal opened up by the Divine Mother, and she has opened up a portal over Brittany. And all that area, the Emerald Isles and all that stuff. Because a friend of mine ran into a designer, and that he happened to be one of these famous designers in his restaurant. And he's kind of in this stuff, too. And he said, did you know that the Divine Mother has opened up a portal over Brittany right now? So she does mile down on France.
She opened up a portal over Brittany?
Brittany. Brittany
okay.
is the northwest of France. I think Diane Cooper talks about that too. There's different, you know, areas that have been opened, and Brittany is one of them. It's that whole area, like Saint Malo, Emerald Islands, all that area there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's been kind of opened up.
I like Diane Cooper.
Yes, yeah, I like her too. Anyway, so that's kind of all I have. I mean, I don't really have anything else for her. Do we have any callers?
We do.
Shall we take the callers?
Sure. Okay, area code 917. How can we help?
Hi.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. First of all, I enjoyed listening to St. Joan of Arc. I had forgotten about her, if you don't mind putting it that way, until the Women's March in following the inauguration. And
oh, really?
I happened to go into a store, and there are prayer cards there. And I remember the nun who worked there pointed out a prayer card for St. Joan, thinking this is a great day for it, honor of the Women's March and Women's Mobilization and everything. Anyway, so I started reading about her since then. Fascinating woman. And it's so nice to know that you participate in her oversoul, or you may be a direct reincarnation of her.
Yeah, I'm not really caught up in the story as much as, just thinking it's interesting that, I mean, it's just, there's just been so many people that have brought it up that it has to be something to it. Right.
Yeah.
Because these are people
that
don't know me, and it just keeps coming up over and over again. But I think the bigger picture is that the divine feminine, those of us that have worked with the divine feminine in previous lifetimes, you know, we're all coming back now because this is the time for the divine feminine. This is it.
Yes.
She's coming back into balance again. So that's why so many of us, I think, are here now.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether I'm participating in that or not. I used to think of myself as a warrior, and now I consider myself as worn out. But maybe it's because I was adopting the male version of warrior as opposed to the more feminine version.
Well, what I want to share as well is that a lot of the warriors, the feminine warriors, we've been told that energy is shifting now into more of the healer than the warrior.
We don't need the warriors anymore. We need the healers.
We need the healers. And, I will say, in my younger days, I was more of a warrior just because, you know, I always played sports and blah, blah, blah. Now, as I get older, I'm more the healer. You know, I'm not competitive. I'm not into hurting people. Kind of not the warriors hurt people, but you know, it's just different. There's no winner. There's no more winners and losers, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We're the warriors of light. And that's a different kind of intention, because that energy is that, you know, we work for humanity and we're bringing in this energy for all of us, you know, kind of thing.
Okay. Anyway, so
I'm
how can we help people? Okay, well, anyway, I when I read the blurb of the show, it interests me, and it also said that you were doing readings at the end of the show. So that's why I called. It would be nice to participate in that.
Okay.
Sure. What would you like to know?
Do you need a specific question, or can I ask for what's going on in the next couple of weeks? I've got a couple of things that are, earthly concerns.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine with. Is that okay with you, Jen?
What's your name, please? I missed that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Ellen.
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 Yes.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi. There must be a lot. My card just fell on the floor.
Oh.
All of them. Hold on. So
well,
maybe it means my next couple of weeks are a mess.
Why she's doing that, I'll just tell you what I'm getting so far, is I feel like you're in a big change period right now, a transition period. And what they're saying is that, and I'm not sure if we talked about this last week, and forgive me if I've already said this, but one of the things that I've been getting information-wise lately is that the Divine Mother is sending in huge blocks of energy from the Pleiades right now. Okay? And those of us that are on the spiritual path and really tuned in to the energy, their energies, are really going through kind of a rocking and rolling period right now, if you want to call it that. And that anything that no longer serves us is going to be cleared out. And the way that this manifests for people, it's different depending on where you're at, but it can mean friendships can drop away. It can mean relationships can drop away kind of suddenly, actually. And also, you know, people feel that they need to move or they need a new job or they feel like they need to change the vibration of where they're at. And I feel like this is something that's coming in for you.
You hit the nail on the head. Yes.
Okay.
And actually, my earthly concern is a move. I thought it was going to happen by now. And so now I am stuck between apartments. I've had a vacant one I've been living in. The one I have not been accepted in a new one. And I'll be staying with a friend for, you know, until the new one happens. And it's like, this was not the way I had expected. I thought I had planned things better. So it's causing me a little bit of distress.
Okay. So you're in between dwellings right now, is that what you're saying? You're in between?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll just say there's usually a couple of reasons for that. One of them is you're not being clear enough with your intentions and what you want to manifest. So a lot of times what happens is if we're not clear enough and if we're not decisive, if that's the right word that they're using, then sometimes the universe, it kind of stalls you until they're sure what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one thing I would recommend, and this is a common thing that I tell people if they're having this kind of issue, is get like a journal or a notebook or something and just start writing it out what you really want to manifest on a piece of paper. Get really, you know, deliberate with your intentions, because your thoughts with the combination of emotions and feelings and your heart chakra, the energy of your heart chakra, is what creates your reality.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're hemming and hawing, or if you're indecisive and you're not sure what you want, it's kind of like your car is kind of like idling. Does that make sense?
It does, but I thought I had done those things. I thought it was very clear on what I was looking for. I don't know.
Okay, well, pulling the cards, all right, pulling the Lenormand cards, I can see what you pulled was in the past there was an anchor. Next there's a key, so something about unlocking the key. And right now where you are, you're looking ahead, okay? There's a woman there looking ahead. And the next card is the dog. Now, dogs usually mean friends. So, and after that, there's a boat. So I think things are going to start moving in about 2 weeks. There's a lot of talk. And either it's a trip or things are going to start moving in like 2 weeks. And it said there's something better. So I pulled another card and it says there's something better. So I think that this living with a friend thing was a have to be. It was kind of a have to be. And it's kind of like there's going to be a lot of talking. And I pulled the time card, the angel answer cards, and it comes out with there's something better.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
okay?
So that's...
Because underneath...
So that's,
hello?
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
So,
I was just wanting to ask you. Hey, Grace. I just want to add that sometimes people perceive something as being negative when actually maybe they're protecting her. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what, because the cards in the future, it's a dog, it's a boat, and it's the birds. And it looks like it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of movement in the future. Whereas the past, it was, there was an anchor and a key. There's a key in the door. And then you're just looking towards the future. So I don't know how it's going to come out, but it's coming out with a lot of movement. And it doesn't, and there's no bad cards here. There's not like there's a cross or a coffin or anything like that. There's, you know, there's two birds, two kids on the birds playing. There's a dog, which is usually a friend, and there's a woman with a lantern in a boat. And so it's movement, and it's, you know, kind of like, I don't think you're going to be able to see your way through. You're going to kind of move without reason. That's the thing, what I mean is, like, you know, you're not kind of know where you're going, but something better is going to show up.
Yeah, I know I'm protected. It's come through several times in my life. It's just that there's some tension in this stress. It's a stressful time for me. Even though I know I'm ultimately protected, there is still stress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this also going on, too. The energy in the world has gone up, and the energy has gotten very high. Joseph Tittle, who is a reader, he said that people said that, you know, this stressful high, he said, we've basically just passed the eye of the storm, and now the energies are going back up again. I've been to the osteopath, and she said that Easter, the energies all came in brand new, and they're going back up. So a lot of people are feeling with stress, more so than normal.
Yeah. I know I've been feeling it, so.
Yeah. I broke down and cried a couple of times. I hate to admit it, just like I would try to push and get this to happen, and it didn't happen. Other people's timelines are not the same as mine. You know what I mean? The divine itself also has different timing than I do. So
I know
I'm ultimately protected, and I thank you for that, for the reading. That'll all turn out, but I still have a couple of weeks to get through, at least, it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I should say thank you for that, because May 15th, there are certain apartments that will be opening up. Some of the apartments I looked at were being renovated. And I think the original prediction was May 1st, and some of them are like going to be available May 15th instead.
Well, it looks like you're going to be making friends with this new place. I mean, it really does. It looks like wherever you're going, there's going to be friends, and it's going to be more conducive to having people around. As I said, because there's no, you know, the negative cards, fox, cross, you know, and coffin. No, they're not there. It just seems like if I had dog and birds like this, it would be to get together with friends and kind of going on trips and things like that. So I think it's going to be, you know, I think you just have to wait for the two-week period. Because Rana George, when I was listening to Rana George, I've taken Rana George's, not taken a course, and I know she's listening. Hi, Rana. but she does the essential other mom, and she says, all right, if you have your card in the middle, and this is my significator card, which is the woman, all right, and you go over and you look at each card, you give a time period, and I did, okay, the next card, the next week is the dog, and the week after is the boat. So that would be finding the place, and so that would be it, you know, kind of landing in there. So I would say 2 weeks.
Wonderful. I'm glad you confirmed that like that, yes. Thank you. And do you mind if I listen to the rest of the show? And also, are you planning to cover other examples of the divine feminine in the next couple of weeks in your upcoming shows?
I think Jen's a class on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting you should say that, because my mentor and I and a couple other people are actually doing work with the Divine Mother right now to put together a class that we've been told to do. So
we'll advertise it on our Facebook site.
I will check it out then.
Yeah, and also we'll you know, we can talk about more divine feminine. Let me say it this way. The Divine Mother has many faces, okay, and many energies. And that's really what we're going to be talking about, is the different faces of the Divine Mother.
Okay.
she's very, you know, she's all of it. So it's it gets kind of deep there. But anyway, thanks, Ellen, so much for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ellen, for listening.
All right,
thank
take
you.
Care.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You too.
Bye. That was cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Area code.
Hello.
216.
Yes. Yeah, hi. My name is Patricia.
Hi, Patricia.
Yes. Hi.
Hi,
Jennifer.
Patricia.
Hi.
Give me 1 minute. I gotta get out and get my cards off the floor. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to ask. This, in the area of past life. Well. Okay. Let me put that to the side. I want to know what are the steps or tools. I've been praying and doing energy work and clearing on sexual abuse I've experienced in my life. And in my life currently, I'm really past 5 years here where I'm living, you know, dealing with a bunch of really abusive asshole men, for lack of a better word, through the classes I'm taking, and I'm very limited in what I can do because the school is protecting their rights. A couple of them are tenured, and no help from the counselor and the president and all these other things. But what to heal, begin healing that current, you know, in my lifetime, sexual various abuses. I've done energy work. And also I had the, which Jennifer, we had talked probably a couple of months ago about that past life issue with that man, which I'd done some energy work and got him cleared.
You live in Cleveland,
and,
right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah,
and,
I remember.
He still tries to, you know, connect me. I hear his music, but then my mind will just shift into I hear other music, and he goes out, but he's still trying to connect. And I've learned more about, you know, that our past life, and it was we had several, and we were involved, and blah, 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 blah. He's a controller, and he was a has the issues. Oh, he has the cult leader, but in this lifetime, he's probably very slick. He likes to use women, or probably in the past life too. And just the way that he used me, because and of course I have to take responsibility for myself. I was just being so distracted with all this other BS and getting sick, and then how he knows how to hypnotize. That's how he got me. Meaning, you remember I touched his fingers and like a light switch, and he was in my mind so much, but I've got that, you know, that control is gone.
So did we do, what did we do? Did we do cord cutting for that?
You suggested, the other healer suggested, Elizabeth Clare Prophet to start doing, listening to the meditation there, writing to my angels, what else? Giving gratitude, expressing gratitude. So the writing, the angel writing, expressing gratitude, and you know, but anyway, but yeah, he's still trying to, but he's, you know, as I said, I'm doing other energy work, you know, really grounding myself and making sure that I'm doing protective work. So,
is he one of your professors? Is he a professor?
Well, he's a teacher, but he's not mine. He's a musician.
He doesn't have a quote power position over you now, right? He's not one of your teachers. Okay.
No.
So what
the others are.
Okay. So what's this connection that you feel with them then? Is it energetic? You feel like it's still there? Or are you still talking to them?
Oh, no, I stopped that.
Okay.
I believe even that was a trick. Like I said, whatever he knows something about hypnosis, he's a controller. Because because what had happened, as I was told through another psychic in past lives, he was had this cult leader type of energy. And we had six or seven past life relationships. And there was, we were involved, I guess romantically and such. And I had a habit of looking for a group to be involved with during different lifetimes. I was following him. And sure enough, what was happening a few months ago, that's what outwardly it looked like. That's what I'm saying. That was control. Now, mind you, I wasn't consciously doing that. And of course, you know, he's playing the little innocent act, oh, I'm happily married type of, and it's like, please. Because on the outside, it looked like I was chasing this man. And it's like, okay, you know, I know who I am. I don't need to explain myself. So basically, the person, one of the psychics, she got in there and she said she had her guides give her help. Because once she was cleaned out my third eye and getting it, you know, strengthened and telling me, you know, that I just have to, you know.
So the words I'm getting is magician and there's something around voodoo with them too.
Yeah, I would not surprise.
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing. This is what I'm getting for you, Patricia. First of all, people involved in black magic, okay, and I've gone up against some myself in the past. And first of all, a lot of their power, quote, over you is because you're not protecting yourself enough, okay?
Right.
So... And a lot of people don't even know about this stuff. So, gosh, they don't even know how to protect themselves.
Right.
Especially if you're going to university or school where you're going to be around a lot of public-facing people like that. So one of the things I want to recommend is protection, okay? There are many different ways to protect yourself. You know, something like that, I would wear, it's called the Mark of the Cross. You can buy one pretty cheaply on Amazon. And this is what Raphael told us to do for Grace and I, because we were both being attacked at one point let's put it this way. The higher up you go, the more you're a threat to them. So it's just part of the path. I mean, it's just part of it.
Right.
But you can buy a very inexpensive cross, and you don't want to buy one with Jesus on it or anything like a crucifix. You just want to buy a plain, ordinary cross.
Okay.
And you want to let it hang around your heart chakra, so it hits you around your heart chakra. And you do not even, you know, you don't even have to put it on the outside of your clothes. You could put on the inside of your clothes. But nothing can penetrate that mark. And that's why, like, the Catholic priests, you know, when they go in with the exorcisms and they have the cross, that's why they do that. Because nothing can penetrate it.
Yeah.
I would recommend that. The other thing that they're telling me to tell you is you need to cut all energetic cords to this man.
Okay, yeah, I do.
Well, I'm going to do it right now, though, again for you, okay? So we're going to cut. Can you just tell me his first name?
Ernie? Yes.
E-R-N-I-E?
Yes.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to call in Archangel Gabriel and Archangel Raphael and Archangel Michael, And we're going to ask that all energy cords around Patricia, anything connected to Ernie across all time and space, across all dimensions, past, present, or future, be severed at this time. Mm-hmm. He has no power over her. Any old soul contracts, any old decrees, any old spells, any old potions, any old agreements, any old vows, now be removed and disintegrated, and they no longer exist. And so it is.
Patricia, can I add some stuff in here?
First of all, I picked up,
you have to forgive him because part of you is still angry. And because you're still angry, there's a cord existing in there because this has been going on forever and ever. So once you forgive, the cord will drop. Also, I have been subject to voodoo attacks before, but during the time, it never hit me. It landed all around me. I was amazed. I didn't even know what was going on. But it was during a period of time where I was helping a lot of people. I was, giving to charities and things like that. And I had found out later who was doing it was voodoo, who was doing it, and why I was protected. And it was during that period where I was doing a lot for other people and things like that. Like I would work, at the food, helping with distribution of food, taking my aunts to church, taking some people to church that didn't have any way to get there. And it was amazing. And then I found like the whole story within about 6 months, what was going on. And I was really amazed. Another thing is you have to, there's a power issue going on. First card I picked was solar plexus. So you really have to guard your power and protect, put a shield over, ask Archangel Uriel to increase your solar plexus energy, put a yellow shield over it. Also, that chakra clearing, Doreen Virtue's chakra clearing CD is very good. You can do that in morning at night, and that'll help too.
Okay. All right. How can I really cleanse this deep from the sexual abuses I've experienced? Really, because I believe part of now, I believe, might be with all these clashes with these other men.
The chakra clearing CD, it goes over, because I listen to it a lot. She has morning and nighttime. It's like 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night, and it will clear those chakras. She has talked about people she's worked on, and you have to listen to it like every day. You plug it in the morning, you stick it in your ear at nighttime, and you do the same things. And you can also, another thing is also the sacral chakra, you can imagine a bunch of light going into it and asking, that's another thing I do is, I call the angels in, and I will just ask. I will ask them to take away this negativity in these chakras. I'll see a bunch of light going in, and I see the angels walking away with these big, like trash bags of stuff, and taking them away. And I'll do. That's the kind of thing I do on my side too.
Okay, Doreen Virtue, right?
Doreen Virtue's chakra clearing. Chakra healing.
Yeah.
It's a small book, and a little, CD in the back, and it seems to be pretty efficient.
Right. All right. Thank you. And I've tried connecting Jennifer to your aunt. I wasn't still enough to hear her, but and of course my mind's been pretty busy, and pulled in a few directions. But is there a particular way I can connect with her to help me out here?
She said that she was going to connect with you.
Okay.
So do you have a filter?
No. And I've right now I've been focused on job searching. Nothing. I had been applying and nothing. So what I just want to do is just get working, earn some money, and
get
my own place.
Patricia, I'll tell you what, we've got some other callers, but if you want to message me on Unseen Realms, our Facebook page, I'll get up with you outside of this call, okay, and we'll figure out something.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the clearing. Thank you for the suggestions. And good to talk to you again.
You too, Patricia. Right. Take care.
Bye, Patricia.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, let's see. We have area code 207. Who could this be? It's my cousin. I recognize the number. It's my cousin Wendy.
Good afternoon. Hi, how are you, Wendy?
My name is Grace.
You're so funny, and you want to pick Joan of Arc, of course, to call in.
Well, yeah. Oh, I'm just stop it now.
I will. I'm stopping.
I, as you know, have been kind of on a path, and now that it ended with all the changes and all the shifts and everything that's going on, it's kind of changed, and now I have a choice between two separate paths of study that I need to focus on one or the other, and I don't know what to do.
Okay, okay. Can you give me, or you want to name them out? I'm pulling the Lenormand on one cards out now. Do you have the names of the two paths?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm either going to be going more deeply into the spiritual path and the feminine, or more into the herbal healing aspect.
Are they the same?
Well, she might do the Magdalene thing, or she might go to school for herbalism. Well, you are going.
Okay, hold on.
You had started that, right, Wendy? The herbalism?
Yeah, I
school?
Started the herbal thing, and I only have so much time, so I have to pick, and I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
This is all like a new beginning this year. It's a new cycle, and I'm just not sure which one I should be focusing on first, which direction.
Okay.
Well, this is complicated. The silence.
No, I'm letting Grace do it because I know you, so.
Yeah, that's trouble.
Yeah. Grace is freaking out here right now because the cards are coming up. All right. Okay. Instead of doing a three card. All right. So, the Magdalene, the spiritual path, you've been writing about it. It's it's coming with innocence. You're worried though during this path, and I see a house after security, and it looks like, and there's a scythe, and a scythe is kind of cleaning everything out. All right. I think they're both equally. You know, they're kind of both equally, whereas on the herbalism path, now, as soon as you said it, I heard herbal. So as soon as you said it, there's the moon, the fish, so that's work. Then you come into a mountain, so you're going to be blocked for a little while in this, but then the traveler, and then the garden. So they're both equally good, but I heard herbal.
Okay.
Well, that makes
sense. All right,
sense.
You're going to be worried on the, because if you're on the Magdalene the path, you're worried. For some reason, there's some worried. You're anxious and all that other stuff. And a lot of things kind of, it goes, let me see, there's a letter. There's, I guess that's journaling. There's the child, so it's kind of like playing. And the next thing is the mice. So the mice always means being nervous and anxious. And then there's the house, which is security. That's always a good sign. But then there's the scythe, which is cleaning things out in a way. Whereas on the herbalism path, there is the moon, all right? and all the phases of the moon. And I guess with herbal stuff, you would do all the phases of the moon. There's fish,
right,
which means work. But then in the middle there, there's a mountain. So I think you're going to go through a small blockage in that. But then after that, there's the traveler and then the garden. So everything looks good. So it's kind of up to you. Oh, I hate to do that. It's really kind of up to you to decide which one you want to do.
That's so helpful.
Thank you, Leonard Moncard. I appreciate the clarity.
Well, I mean, it's like the stress is like my house. I live in a log cabin in the woods in the foothills of the mountains. And so it's like either I worry more about the house and do the herbal stuff in the gardens and all that here, or we just sell out and do the Mary Magdalene. So it's like, you know.
Let me see. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm hearing your spirit guide say, talk to us, talk to us. So let me pull out the angel answer cards. Maybe they'll give me more of it. Because I've got all my card decks out here. So let me pull out the angel answer cards for this. This might give me more of a thing. All right. So, Wendy, when's your month and day of birth?
2/2/62.
Okay, 2/2. Okay, 62. All right.
Yeah.
All right, 2/2. All right, so you're in a 5 universal year, right?
Right.
Okay, so you're actually coming into 1 month. So this past month has been Mercury retrograde, and you were in a 9. You were in a 9. April was a 9 month for you. So that's endings. So Mercury retrograde and the 9 months were all endings for you. May is going to be a brand new beginning, all right, as I'm sitting here talking, because that will be a one universal, that will be a one personal year, month for you, one personal month for you. Okay, so hold on, let me see what I have here. Okay.
I have to say, though, Wendy,
all right.
Can I just say one thing really quick about Wendy?
Sure.
She is so gifted in herbals. We've done readings. I've done readings for her before. She was very into the herbs as a Native American. She's very gifted in that area. And they've been wanting her to get into making candles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
pretty much the angel cards say the same thing. The Magdalene thing says abundance, but then it says there's something better. And the herbal path says it's up to you and helpful people on the way. So as soon as you started talking, I heard herbal. So it's really,
okay,
really kind of up to you. You got to go, which, you know, you kind of know, try them both on energetically. And if you try one on and you still feel like something's missing, then try the other one on. And it's whatever one makes you feel like there's nothing missing.
Well, they kind of go together to a certain point. It's just,
yeah, they really do.
I need to, you know, go one way or the other right now, and because of there's a time frame on the herbal thing, and but part, as I was listening to you talk, part of what I recognized as a fear in myself, which could be the ego holding me back, is thinking that I'm too old and I don't have enough time to be successful in the herbal.
Oh gosh.
Well, you're 4 years younger than I am. So you have plenty of time. People will find you. You'll see how things, I mean, I'm seeing now that, you know, a body code practitioner and people are starting to call. And I don't know if successful has to do with it. It's when people start finding you and you're not advertising. Then you're successful.
Oh, and let me.
And I really feel like that would be,
mentor,
you know. Huh?
I just want to mention something here. My mentor in Seraphim Blueprint, she's 73. Sandra.
I am, and stuff is moving for her now.
I mean, and
wow,
she's amazing, and she's thriving in her business, thriving. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
like
I wouldn't worry about
game. Well, not probably has top of her game right now.
Yeah, she is. And, you know.
Awesome.
The thing is when, like,
and
you've got
30
you've
years?
Got so much ability, like, with the candles and the herbs and you just need to start cranking those things out and sell them to me because I'll buy them first.
Well, I've been making some stuff, I'm about ready to either plant my gardens or move. So I have a lot of herbals around here. I have a lot of plants that are here, and they're willing to give themselves to me to do whatever, and I need to up it, or this is just, I feel like a door is closed, which is good, but now I just want to make sure that I'm headed in the correct decision direction and not just ego taking over and pushing me one way or
the
other.
The thing of it is if you leave herbalism, you're going to miss the plants and the plants are going to miss you.
Well, my kids laugh every time I say, well, I'm going to move. And they just look at me and laugh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
I've been laughing too. I'm like, no way. You never.
Yeah, no. Okay, well, you've been so helpful, Grace, and I appreciate it. And Jen, you always are. I love you, hon.
I love you too. And listen, one more thing before you go. I just want to tell a little story because you're our last caller, I think. My father, your uncle, called me the other day and said, I need you to come over here right away. And I said, why? What's wrong? He goes, the doctor gave me these drop things and I don't know what to do with it. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? I go over there. And he goes, I don't know why, but they charged me $20 a bottle for these things. And it was marjoram and peppermint.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my God. And he's got some back problems. So his chiropractor told him to go to Whole Foods and get these drops. And then he had coconut oil. And he goes, I don't know how to do it. So I made it for him. You know, I made the salve that he puts on his back. It's a salve. But I'm like, oh, my gosh. My father, who has always been only into the, you know, non-woo-woo world, here he is. He's using aromatherapy, you know. Can you imagine what the future holds?
She's right, because I think with people, like my husband had some issues with some pain, and he was trying to do, you know, he's trying to take, and he went ahead and he did tea tree oil, and it went away.
There's just so much, and I really am it keeps coming into my head to write a regional book in that there are plants, wherever you live, there are plants that will meet every one of your needs where you live. You don't need to order plants from a pathway across the continent because you have what you need growing around you. And
well, the thing of it is you could be teaching at bookstores. You could write your book, and you're actually answering your own question because I can hear how much you love it over the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, while on the show right now. I mean, you're supposed to be a teacher. You're supposed to be teaching this stuff.
Wow, that's when I was little, that's what I always wanted to be, a teacher or a librarian.
Well, there you go. You get to go teach at the bookstore. It covers both things at the same time.
Oh,
I wonder where that came
boy,
from.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But
no,
you can
no.
go out taking pictures. And I think a regional book would be really appreciated. And, I mean, there's just so many things you could do because you have a lot of talent and a lot of, and you know, good connection to the public. And I could see you writing your book and going out and doing, you know, talking to people about it, how to do it, showing them and all that stuff, coming out with your own products and things like that.
See, that sounds so much fun. That sounds like so much fun. Do you know what I do now, Grace? You know
what
my day job is? I am so totally off the board. I am an orthodontic technician, radiologist, lab tech. I make all the stuff that goes in people's mouths and stuff and braces, the whole thing, x-rays, all that. It has nothing to do with anything we've just talked about.
Well, look at me, my friend.
Yes, that's
I mean, that's, you know, you've got a lot of elemental energy in you, a lot of elemental free energy in you. And I just, you know, I can feel the plants' love for you and your love for the plants.
I just love them.
Well,
I know, and if you
were
trying to walk from that, you wouldn't get very far.
the very first thing I planted was morning glories, and I was 5 years old.
Wow.
I love morning glories. I love, you know, I love them.
They're beautiful. They're so, they're wonderful. And they're
and
very happy.
And there's a book out, I think it's called The Language of Flowers. I bought that book. That's great. I mean, that's,
I
you know, just talking
it.
About, talks about the esoteric part of the flower and what it's used for and what you should do with it and all that stuff, you know. And I could totally see you writing a book like that, you know, getting in there and talking to the plants.
I have a path, because once I get on that path, the Magdalene, I mean, that all is part of it, because you have to have that energy into your sobs and things, or they don't really work. So,
yeah,
I think
so when I just want to tell you something.
Okay.
So today, when my friends came over, we did the Beltane ceremony today. Okay. Big juju, big juju today, because all of us are getting activated by this goddess energy that's coming in for us. And one of the things that came in was, you've got to be careful with your power too. You know, you're throwing lightning bolts potentially. So you've got to learn the craft, and then you'll get the juju. And to infuse the herbs with your juju, and that's really what why people will want it. It's the juju. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, I knew that it had, it's not just a matter of going out and picking an herb and throwing in some olive oil or coconut oil and calling it good. There's more to it than that. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, today I worked with
that.
Plants all day.
Magical energy to do that. You've got that kind of magical energy to do that. That's like, you already have that.
Yeah,
for a little
does.
While, I quit my job where I am, because he's hired me back three times. I've quit three times, he's hired me back three times. But one of the times I quit, I went to work for a greenhouse. And that was like the best time in my whole life.
Yeah.
I loved working in the greenhouse. And
so you answered your question.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, right? Jen, I mean, it just helps to... I'm so worried about listening to my ego rather than to everything else. And so, yeah. All right. I'll go get
you know
on
what?
My laptop.
With the ego thing, you know, if you look at it all over a day, sometimes it's 50-50, sometimes it's 40-60, sometimes it's 90-10. It's how mood you're in that day.
Yeah, exactly. But see,
you know?
Everything right now is starting to blossom. The leaves are starting to come out. And,
and I can hear them going, Wendy,
yeah.
Time to come and play.
You know, when my daughter was she was 4 years old, and I was a single mom, and my son at the time was six, but we used to I used to forage for food. And so she can remember, like, my first childhood memory is walking Violet, saying, "Thank you, Violet," and then eating the Violet for vitamin C. So this isn't, you know... been kind of a long road here, but yeah, I guess that is the direction I want to go. All right.
Well,
yes.
I would agree that you can hear it. You can hear it in your voice that makes you happy. And the thing is, there's no time limit on this priestess thing. I mean, you can do it, you know, whenever you want to. But it's kind of like you'll have the
did it in a life before.
You'll have the herb knowledge, and then you can, you know, have people call you when they're sick with something, and you can write the prescription for them. Is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm at the perfect place to do the herbal thing because it's so. The area around me is so diverse. I mean, I have swamps and streams and mountains and fields, and so, yeah. And Jen,
right.
You're going to have to come visit when all my gardens are looking good.
I promise I will.
Wait, you know, also, Wendy, before you get off, you can write little articles for magazines talking about different flowers and plants. Like my husband got into this. He was out picking nettles, and he made, after he cleaned them about 3 or 4 times, they're called ortie in France, and he made nettle soup. And there's a bunch of ironed nettles. And you could do that. You could write little recipes or, you know, find a magazine and send articles in for a little extra money on the side for what you know.
That's a really good idea. Because the minute you said nettles and I had all these things going through my head.
I know. I can feel the wheels turning.
Yeah, because they're so good for women that have an issue with iron, and they're such a great overlooked plant.
Yeah, right. And he made this great soup, and I'm like, you know, please don't leave me. I love you. You make great soups. Now the next thing was he cut the top off of radishes and made soup with that. No, the radish and the tops of the soup. It was really good. I mean, he just, you know, he experiments a lot with that. He's more plants. I'm more rocks. You know, like, there's as many rocks outside as there are inside.
Yeah, well, you know. But you see what I mean? I mean, like, there are so many plants. Like, if you went online and you looked for a plant that was high in iron, you could get all these plants that you have to send to Timbuktu for, but you have a plant growing right around you that is awesome for iron and all kinds of things. And
right.
I think that's what I...
And people are looking for this kind of information. I mean, they're looking for somebody who knows, you know. I have a friend of mine who's, actually, a little story. My husband picked, what are those, the onion type of grass. It's not onion grass, it's called, what is it called? Ciboulette here. And I guess it's called chives in the States. It's called chives.
I was
going to
say chives.
So he went out and picked chives, and he made, his grandfather was, I think 90, in his 90s, and his grandmother was in her 90s, too. And so he picked chives, and he made an omelet out of it. And he loved the omelet. So his grandmother said, I could do that. And she went out and grabbed a bunch of grass, washed it, and threw it in the eggs.
A little more.
It went down really hard because she didn't know what she was picking. She thought, well, he got it from the garden. You know, this must be the grass, and that's what she did.
That's hilarious. You know what I made today? I made one of the things I made because I went foraging yesterday, so I got quite a few things. But one of the things I made today is my absolute favorite. It's you take olive oil and chives, and you blend them together, and then you make like a fried egg, and you drizzle that oil over the fried egg. That's what we're having for supper. So funny you should mention chives.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, you could put out cookbooks. I mean, there's so many things you could do. I'm just hearing them all now.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I've got.
And here at work, you can take your breaks, and you can put together articles, or you can put together ideas for books. This is something you can work on at work, too. When you take your breaks and you're like, what am I going to do? You know, it'll relax you. Just being in the energy of the flowers and knowing you're working on that energy will immediately relax you.
Last summer, I had an accident where I broke half my body. But my husband bought me a laptop for that specific purpose. And I am going to take it with me to work tomorrow.
Yeah. I can see you. I can also even see you talking about you know, the fairies of the different plants and bringing it out as a little children's book. I mean, I could see you doing that. The fairies of the fairies of the violets, the fairies of the, you know, and having them talk about the different things.
Because the fairies, like I'm a big knitter and stitcher, and so I save all my little pieces of threads and yarns, and then once a year my granddaughter, I have her go out and she spreads them all over the trees for the fairies and the birds, and there's a great big hawk that just landed in my backyard.
And there you go, there's a sign. From the Divine Mother herself.
Oh, awesome.
Can you tell that to my cousin, Grace?
I didn't mean to get distracted, but it was, like, so bizarre. It just, like, flew, like, right, wow. Okay. Yeah, already. Thank you so much, Grace. I so enjoyed talking
I guess
to you.
Divine Mother decided she was going to add hers into the conversation, too. Okay. Well, send the hawk, and she'll get the message.
Yeah, that was bizarre. Anyway, thank you so much. I have enjoyed
You're
talking
welcome.
To you. And as always, Jen.
Take care, cousin. Thanks so much for
okay,
calling in.
Okay, talk soon.
Bye, Wendy. It's nice meeting
Bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, she would be my woo-woo cousin.
I've got a couple of those in the family tree. I got to find them, though. Do you have anybody else online?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, I guess we're done for tonight.
I guess we're done. All right, my friend.
See you later.
Can you give me a call on my phone?
Yeah, I am. Just going to say goodnight to everybody. Goodnight, everybody.
Bye.
Have a wonderful
Bye.
May Day. Bye.
Happy May Day. Bye-bye. God bless.
Happy May Day. Bye.